Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics and self-regulation with business and industry leaders. Together, we seek to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series Podcast. I'm James Lee. On September 4th of this year, YouTube and its parent company Google agreed to pay a record $170 million to settle claims by the Federal Trade Commission and the New York Attorney General. Government regulators alleged that YouTube illegally collected personal information from children without their parents' consent. The agreement requires YouTube and Google to pay $136 million to the FTC and $34 million to the state of New York for violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA. The penalty is by far the largest amount the FTC has ever obtained in a COPPA case since Congress enacted the law in 1998. The BBB National Programs has long been associated with helping businesses comply with COPPA through its Safe Harbor program, a program within the Children's Advertising Review Unit. Donna Frazier is director of that program, and she joins us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're very glad you're here. This is going to be a very interesting topic, and I can't wait to dig in. It's interesting to note from a perspective around this topic is that a child born when COPPA was passed is now 21 years old.
That's right.
If COPPA were a law, it could drink.
That's right. So, and it may have been drinking recently.
Yeah. So what was it that prompted Congress to pass this law in the first place?
So this really was about protecting kids, as the law says, in an online environment, but allowing parents to really engage and give choices about how their children's data was being obtained, collected, shared in an online environment. The intention to protect them from really pedophiles in an online environment, right? And 13 was kind of decided to be the age where, okay, at 13, we think that children are able to make some sound decisions, and that's debatable, about what they can and cannot do in an online environment without requiring parental consent or notice. So you have this bright line. Under 13, you need parental consent and notice to collect data from a child. Now, I want to make clear that it's not just about the data about the child. It's from the child. So a 12-year-old can share data about their family, about their friends, about their school. That is all falls under COPPA because it's about data that's collected from the child. It doesn't have to be about them, but it has to be from them.
Well, that's an important distinction. So I'll quote some of my lawyer friends. Sometimes you have distinctions without a difference, but this seems like it's very important.
It is.
And when it comes to whom this law applies, there's also a distinction. Is it different when you're thinking about who it applies to? Are you in a business that attracts children, or is it a business that targets children that will make you subject to that act? And what is it you have to do if you are a business and you now find yourself under this law?
So it's actually both. It's companies who are targeting children specifically. They know that their audience is children, effectively, right? Their marketing programs, everything they do around this product, their advertising is during kids' time on TV, things like that. They know that their audience is children. Then you have companies who may have products that are appealing to children. Their marketing campaigns are not targeted to children, but they may find an appealing child audience. So a lot of people are using the example of Fortnite, right?
Yeah,
so
the video game.
Exactly. So Fortnite, the video game, is not intended for children under 13. It's not their target, but the argument out there is that you've got a lot of children under 13 playing the game. And so Fortnite has to be careful about what they're doing and what kind of protections they're putting in place for that. So you do have this issue of optics also, right? Because what may be perceived internally at a company as we're not intending to target kids, we don't want kids' data, we don't want any of that. But the FTC or a regulator may look at it based on some criteria that they've set forth in COPPA with regards to it being appealing to children, and therefore your audience may be targeted or directed to kids. And some of those include using cartoons, using celebrities, things that would be appealing to a child, naturally appealing to a child, may deem it targeted or directed to a child.
That seems to be a very important distinction, but hard for a lot of businesses, particularly smaller and medium businesses, to be able to make that assessment. If they have a product and a child wanders by and buys it, is that single transaction enough to trigger this law?
So You know, one of the conversations we had at the recent FTC COPPA workshop with regards to the rule review is how do you determine whether or not your product is directed or targeted to a child? Is there a percentage, right? Because at KRU, we do take a percentage. We say if you can prove that 35% of your audience or more is not kids, then you won't be directed to children, right? We'll consider you general audience per se. But I'm not sure that just the percentage enough is to determine, right? We want to look at your marketing campaigns. We want to look at your analytics. Give us something that helps us determine big picture-wise whether or not you're direct. And that's what KRU helps companies do, right? So we are a self-regulatory body for the children's advertising industry, but we're also a COPPA safe harbor. We were the first approved COPPA safe harbor. So we've been doing this a really long time. We've been, you know, drinking with the 21-year-old COPPA kid. We help companies determine not only are you kid directed or are you general audience, but if you don't want to be kid directed, if you don't want to attract the children, let us help you figure out how not to do that, right? In putting in proper age gates, blocking out kids, not collecting data, data minimization. Who are your advertisers, right? That's also a huge piece of this, mm-hmm. is that who are you advertising to? Who are your advertising partners? Are you partnering? If you're not kid directed, then you probably shouldn't be partnering with toy companies on your advertising, right? Because they're going to be targeted to kids.
Let's dig in a little bit into this current situation with YouTube and Google. Well, that got a lot of attention earlier this year. I believe the statistic is that YouTube adds 16 days of video every 60 seconds.
Right.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of new video. And a lot of that is either directed at children or created by children or both.
Mm-hmm.
What did YouTube and Google do, who clearly thought they were not running afoul of the law,
That's
but
right.
it was determined that they were. So mm-hmm. what were they doing and what can we learn from this settlement?
So what they were doing was that, you know, I think the product, YouTube as a platform, as a product, was very confusing for a lot of companies because a lot of companies who wanted the kid eyeballs felt like, well, we want to be on YouTube because we know kids are there, even though Google's saying that they're not there. We know that they're there, but we also believe that the platform is not COPPA compliant. And the question for companies became, well, if we put our product on there, are we also liable for being not compliant with COPPA? Are we going to get swept up in a fine also? Because what was happening was that you have an algorithm. You upload a video to the YouTube platform, and you have an algorithm that determines whether or not the product should be on YouTube proper or it should be on YouTube Kids. And there was a separate mobile app for YouTube mm-hmm. Kids, and it was only available as an app. I would argue that not a lot of parents knew that the YouTube Kids app even existed, right? Most people were just watching YouTube on the YouTube app or on a website. So if I'm a parent and I'm home and I'm on my tablet and I've logged into my Facebook, I've logged into my Gmail, those terms of service for those products say that I have to be over 13 to have an account. So the device now believes me to be a user over 13. Mm-hmm. I hand my device over to my child to watch Peppa Pig. They can watch it on YouTube proper because the algorithm, even though it determines that this is kid-directed product, a kid-directed video, it remains on YouTube. You don't have to leave YouTube to watch it. So now my child is watching YouTube on YouTube proper, but the device, again, believes it to be over 13. So all the advertising, all that content you see on the right-hand side is directed to not a child, but an adult.
Yes.
So you have this problem on the platform determining who's who. And the fact is that a lot of children's data was being collected, whether it was behavioral advertising data, tracking data, cookie data, all that sort of stuff. But on YouTube Kids, there was also a lot of data collection as well. So they got swept up on both sides of the platform with regards to collecting data from kids in violation of COPPA because it was never a parental consent piece. They weren't being asked. And kids were not necessarily creating accounts, but their IP addresses, things like that, and device IDs were being collected.
Yeah. I want to come back to that for just a second, because I think that whole data collection is very important in this current environment. But let's stick with this concept of COPPA was passed in 98. A lot has happened since the internet was shiny and new. We didn't, back then, Google didn't exist.
That's right.
Google had not been born. YouTube was still 10 years away mm-hmm. From being a legitimate part of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have mobile, we have so many other components. You've got live streaming, you have now gaming platforms that are live streaming. So is COPPA adequate to the task today, or does it need to evolve?
It does need to evolve. I think many laws need to evolve with technology, and COPPA is only one of them. The fact that the law, what I like about the COPPA law per se, is that it is broadly defined, right? It does allow room for technology to grow, but the rule that helps companies comply with the law does need to give some guidance and be more specific about certain things like persistent identifiers, like data collection, like the scope of COPPA. Those things need to be re-examined. And I think probably not every 10 years, but probably every 5 years.
But and the FTC is doing that now, correct?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Right. So these things need to be re-examined because, as you know, as I say all the time, what kids did 20 years ago is not what they're doing now. The way that they consume media 20 years ago is not the way they're consuming media now. They are watching everything on YouTube and YouTube-like platforms, right? You have something like you mentioned, you know, watching online gaming. I mean, you know, kids will tune into Twitch, which is an online platform to watch other people play games. It is out of my wheelhouse. I don't understand it, but it exists.
Yeah, and let's make that clear. They're not playing the game.
Exactly.
They're watching people play the
game. Exactly. I don't understand it. I was a gamer. I played games, but I just don't understand the desire to just watch somebody else play. I've had it explained to me 5 billion times. I'm never going to understand it. I'm not their audience, and that's okay. But those types of things exist. So we have to be, you know, aware of how kids are consuming media and how they're using media and how they're giving away their data so freely in order to engage.
And that's where I want to take this next, because that's a very important distinction when you look at the new privacy laws that are being passed around the country, in particular California, with the California Privacy Consumer Protection Privacy Protection Act, the CCPA, which deals with opting in and opting out. So for children, the parents must opt in if you're under 13. Mm-hmm. 13 to 16, both the parent and the child must opt in. And it's about data collection. It's not about your age.
Right.
It's about the data. So that data cannot be sold, shared, consumed, stored, whatever.
Right.
That's a very, very different way of viewing information than what we've had historically. How is that going to change this conversation around COPPA, and for businesses, what do they need to do, and what should they be looking at as this kind of a approach probably spreads across the country?
So for companies who were engaged with children, who were really working with the under 13 audience, they've learned how to do proper age gates, just-in-time disclosures. They've become accustomed of operating in this environment. Now you have companies who, for years, never wanted to engage in that space, but now they have to deal with it, right? They have no choice now but to deal with it, because in California, the size of the company and the number of consumers you have take into account whether or not the rule actually applies to you. But the reality of it is that if you have one consumer from California, the chances are that you have to treat all of your consumers as though they're from California, right? Because if you're not exact, if you're not collecting the precise data about your users, about their location, which some companies may want to do, they may want to implement some sort of upfront ask about zip code. Right. Before you even engage, before you create an account, we just want to know your zip code so that we can at least determine if you're California and put you in a certain bucket with regards to how we're going to treat your data and what kind of disclosures and consents we're going to have to provide to you. Some companies may not want to do that. This is all going to include a heavy lift for some companies who've never engaged in this space. There's costs associated with complying with CCPA. And it's a cost that companies are not used to dealing with, who are not in this space. Obtaining consent is a process. It's time consuming. It's costly for companies, and figuring out the right way and wrong way to do this. We still haven't, we have no guidance from California yet on what they want this to look like. But I do think that KRU is probably perfectly suited to help companies figure out what it should look like.
And they'll also have access to that data for the first time.
That's
too.
Right.
So you'll get to look at what's being collected and how it's being
That's
used.
That's right.
So we know who's maybe not doing it very well from consent orders. If I'm a small business person, I'm looking for a role model, who should I look at?
So I think if you're in the kind of the toy space, you know, I like what Hasbro's doing. I like what Mattel is doing. And these are companies I've worked with over the years. I know that I like what Pokemon is doing. These are companies that care about their brand. that care about consumer trust. And those are the companies you want to look at for examples, right? Because it's one thing to care about your brand. It's another thing to care about building consumer trust. Mm-hmm. And these companies are looking to maintain consumer trust because they recognize that one slip up is a really bad thing for their products and for their company as a whole, and can also get them in trouble with state and federal regulators. But I do think that looking at those media companies, those toy companies, are doing a really good job.
So if someone wants to learn more about how to build a business that is compliant, gee, where should they go and how should they get in touch with you?
So they should call me. They should email me. So they could contact KRU. They could reach me at dfraser@bbbnp.org. I should probably not put my email address out there, but it's out there. It's on the website, bbbnp.org. You can find us there. We can help companies in many ways, right? We can help you build your privacy policy, your just-in-time disclosures, your consent forms. Make sure that your product is compliant with COPPA, compliant with CCPA. Even if you're not kid-directed, we help companies who are a general audience, right? Because they want to make sure that they're not putting their toe in the kid space. So we can help you across the board, whether or not you're kid-directed or not.
Donna Fraser, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the BBB National Program's Better Series. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to the Better Series by visiting our website, bbbprograms.org, and then you can click on the podcast tab to subscribe. You'll find all of our episodes there, where you can listen on your Apple Podcast app or your favorite streaming platform.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.